Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Echo Entertainment Full Year Results Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session. At which time, if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today, Wednesday, the 12th of August, 2015. I would now like to hand the conference over to your first speaker today, Mr. Matt Bekier. Please go ahead, Mr. Bekier.
Thank you, Kay. Good morning, everybody. I'm joined here this morning by Chad Barton, our CFO, who'll take you through the financials. I'll cut to the chase. I'm on page number four of the presentation that we lodged this morning. We've had a great year. We were able to record revenues for 2015, 19% up on an actual basis, 20% up on a normalized basis, up to about $2.3 billion for 2015. Actual EBITDA was up 17.4%, normalized EBITDA up to 24%, up to $521 million. That gave a nice lift to our NPAT, which allowed the board to declare a final dividend of $0.06 fully franked, which means that for the full year, we've had a dividend of $0.11, up 37.5% on the prior period. In addition to these strong financial results, I'm also pleased that we've been able to execute on a range of important initiatives that we've been working on for a while. Most notably, obviously, the successful outcome on the Queen's Wharf bid process, where we were selected as the preferred proponent. Also the execution of the first stages of our expansion work at Jupiters, and a bunch of other things that I'd like to talk about in a minute. If I can take you through the detail on the profit contribution, page number five. You will see on page number five that last year we recorded normalized earnings of $419 million. This year, the equivalent number is $520.7 million, up 24%. I think what is very pleasing is that every one of our properties contributed to that. Star contributed about two-thirds of that earnings increase, but also the Gold Coast and Brisbane went ahead. We sold Townsville during the period, so the earnings are impacted by a reduction of $6 million for the loss of Townsville from the period of 1st of October till the end of the year. The $520 million normalized then translates into $454 million actual. We had a poor win rate in VIP, huge volumes, but poor win rate in VIP of 1.27% for the period. That compares to 1.32% last year and 1.43%, which is our long-term average. Let me now turn to the star performer, so to speak. Star in Sydney, page number six. Strong revenue growth, up 25.7% to $1.639 million normalized, which gives rise to normalized EBITDA of $356 million. That's now pleasingly ahead of the target of $340 million that we had set for 2014 at the beginning of the expansion. It's a very strong result. What is particularly pleasing at Star is that it's such a broad-based result. You see that slots are up 13%, tables up 20%, VIP up 33%. Our visitation is up 9%, spend per customer is up, our rate of business is up, our unrated business is up. It's a really strong, broad-based performance, which really is probably best explained by a multitude of factors, including a benign economic climate, including the work that we've been doing with Absolute Rewards, more and more targeted marketing campaigns, and a very effective jackpot strategy for our EGMs. One area that went backwards is non-cash, so the food and beverage as well as hotel. That's really as a result of the increased self-comping that our customers are using at Star. On a gross basis, it's up 11.4%, which really speaks to the increased level of activity in the property. Operating costs were up 10.3% because of the increased activity. Our non-rebate tax rate is up to 31.4% from 28.9% last year. That's, as you may recall, until 2019, we are in this increasing tax regime where we have an incremental tax rate of 50%, so that you should expect that with continued growth that that number will continue to grow. And then from 2019, revert to a 29% flat rate. So that's the overview of the STAR. A really strong, role-based performance that we're really pleased with. Over the page, Queensland, also good performance. Revenue's up 9.9% and EBITDA up 21.5% because we're super tight on expenses. So if you look at the revenue line, good, I think, in the circumstances. Slots up 7.3%, tables up 13%, VIP up quite substantially on a very small basis. The drivers behind that similar. In addition, I think in Queensland, the economic uplift is probably less pronounced, but we still have some benefits from, and we'll continue to see benefits from the modernization of the regulatory framework for EGMs. Non-gaming is down more than at STAR, not just because of the stock comping, but also because we've had a little bit more disruption as we are refreshing the food and beverage in Jupiter's, and we saw Townsville. Operating cost up 0.5% period on period. That's a good performance. On the notional level, they're actually down 10.4%, but that really is explained by the sale of Townsville. So a good result for Queensland, and I'm really pleased with the discipline around the margins that we've been able to execute. If you turn over to the page, a quick snapshot of our EGM market share, you know that that's something we like to focus on because it's the engine room of our profitability. And it's pleasing to see that at STAR we're now sort of hitting all-time highs in terms of market shares for EGMs. But also in Queensland, the aggregate blended market share for our two properties in their respective markets has gone up to 28.9% to 7.6% last year. So that really says that, you know, the loyalty and the marketing campaigns are effective across the whole company. Over the page, snapshot of our international VIP business. It's a very good result, and it's a very high quality result. I'm very, very pleased with the performance around our receivables in this business. We gave you the heads up that we had a strong first half when we reported in February, and we were very mindful of the developments in Macau. That meant that we adopted a cautious stance. We still had good volume growth in the second half, not as much as in the first half. But pleasingly, you know, our receivables are only $16 million. So for a turnover of $46 billion, that is a fantastic outcome. It's a huge credit to our credit selection team here in Sydney, Singapore, and in Macau. The only fly in the ointment in the performance of this business was the win rate that I referenced earlier on. But that's something that we just, you know, we keep tracking and we'll continue to look at the longer term fluctuations. It's a bit early to jump to conclusions on this one. So as I said in the introduction, not only is the financial performance satisfying, we also made good progress in delivering against some of the other important things that we're working on. First of all, you know, we're pleased with the quality of your results because every operational metric that is important to us looks better. So if you look at EBITDA margin, if you look at the labor cost ratio, if you look at the cash conversion, NMRs, market shares, all of these metrics are pointing in the right direction, which goes to show that we've been able to move in a very broad way across the company. We've made good progress with our expansion at Jupiter's, where we've built out some additional facilities and made sure that we've got all the necessary approvals in place for the new hotel tower. In fact, there's going to be a soft turning ceremony next week at Jupiter's, and that project will then go until 2017. We've spent a fair bit of time at STAR making sure that we understand the changed competitive landscape and translate that into a compelling master plan. The outworkings of that will now happen in 2016 onwards. Pleasingly, we've also been able to improve our staff engagement across all properties. That's important as we now turn our minds more and more towards customer satisfaction. We need to work through our staff to deliver that, and we've delivered the Townsville sale. We've been further strengthening the management team at multiple levels. We've added senior hires in gaming, sales and marketing, and corporate affairs. We've done a lot of work around our brand, our marketing, and our partnership portfolio, as well as our loyalty system, all of which will be implemented in 2016. You'll see a fair bit of activity on that front in this year. Of course, that's the last page that I'll talk to. One of the non-financial achievements of last year was being selected as the preferred proponent of Queen's Wharf. Huge credit to the team who led that effort. What's going to happen next year is that over the next 2 months, we'll be helping to finalize the documentation with government, who then have to pass some legislation, which will allow everything to be implemented. That means that then probably later this financial year, we'll be making some payments to government. We hope to get control of the site on the 1st of January or early in 2017. Then it's a 5.5-year build to bring the project to life. There's a lot of planning, and that's now going to take place to get ready for this exciting project. With that, I conclude my introductory remarks and hand over to you, Chad.
Thanks, Matt. Good morning, everyone. As Matt highlighted at the start, I'll take you through the financial performance for the year in some more detail. I'll initially run through the normalized results, in which we have normalized the win rate on actual turnover in the international rebate business at 1.43% to reflect a consistent win rate between FY14 and FY15. As Matt has highlighted, we've seen good revenue growth across both domestic and international gaming business, with domestic gaming up 14.6% and international rebate up 53%. It's great that each property is added to this growth, and it really highlights the quality of the result across each product and property perspective. Non-gaming has seen a decline in cash revenues of 4.8% in the year as more patrons take advantage of complimentary reward redemptions under the loyalty program. Gross non-gaming revenues, taking into account all activity, has increased by 5.7% in the year. This has led to an overall revenue increase of 20.6% on PCP on a normalised basis. Gaming taxes, levies and commissions are up 37.2%, and this is driven by three main reasons. Firstly, tax growth across the group has obviously increased on the back of increased revenues. Secondly, we've seen high average tax rates in New South Wales, growing from 28.9% in FY14 to 31.4% in FY15 as the volume growth hits higher marginal tax rates. Had the tax rates remained consistent between the years, the tax would have been $21 million lower. And thirdly, commissions on international VIP have gone up 60.6%, primarily off the back of increased turnover of 54%. The commission rate was 0.82% compared with 0.79% in the prior year, and this is driven by the increased mix in junket business over the last 12 months. Given the volume growth seen across the business, costs have continued to be well maintained at a growth level of 6.4%, leading to EBITDA of $520.7 million, an increase of 24.1%, and an EBITDA margin expansion of 60 basis points. Worthwhile noting that margin expansion would have been 100 basis points higher if you excluded the impact of the higher New South Wales gaming taxes. Depreciation amortization for the year was $163.7 million, up 12.4% as we've had higher capex in the year, and we've also accelerated depreciation on some of the assets due to master planning. EBIT has increased 30.4% to $357 million. Interest expense of $50 million was down 24.5% as a result of strong cash flow and lower debt levels in FY15. Our tax levels have obviously increased on the back of higher earnings, but the effective tax rate has dropped to 28.6% versus 30.6% in the prior year. I expect the tax rate over the longer term to be around 30%. This leads us to a normalized net profit after tax of $219.3 million, up 52.2%, which is a 200 basis points margin expansion on FY14. The differences between normalized NPAT and statutory NPAT are adjustments relating to the actual win rate on the international rebate business in the year being 1.27%, and our significant items that we've had this year that totaled to $2.7 million, and that's the associated profit on sale of Jupiter's Townsville of $8 million, offset by bid costs associated with the Queen's Wharf Brisbane bid. Statutory net profit after tax was $169.3 million, up 59% year on year. If I now turn to the balance sheet, this year we've seen strong cash conversion of 112%, and we've continued, as Matt's highlighted, to have strong credit risk management and cash collection processes in the international rebate business. This is highlighted by receivables past due of only $16 million at year end, down from $41 million in June. This strong cash collection and the proceeds from the sale of Jupiter's Townsville has enabled net debt to reduce by $234 million. Leaving a net debt of $400 million at year end. I should also note that derivative financial assets have increased significantly, and this is in regards to our USPP debt, where we're fully hedged on the Australian dollar devaluation that's been going on. I'll turn to slide 15. You know, as I highlighted, the balance sheet net debt's down to $400 million. This is 0.9 times net debt to EBITDA. The balance sheet strength with low gearing levels highlights the group capacity to take on Queen's Wharf Brisbane development in addition to our other investment programs. We have available at year-end undrawn banking facilities of $500 million, having recently extended our domestic debt facilities. Given the fully drawn nature of our USPP bonds and associated swap costs, as well as increased CapEx expected in FY16, we expect to see finance costs to remain around $50 million for FY16 on a consistent interest rate basis. Turning to CapEx now on page 16. CapEx for FY15 was $226 million. Up over 100% on PCP as we commence our expansion and refurbishment plans at the Star and Jupiters. CapEx for FY16 will lift further to between $275 and $325 million as we accelerate these investments. The table on slide 16 highlights our development program for the year and the timing associated with these projects. Clearly, it can be seen there is extensive development throughout FY16. Is likely to have some disruption to operations, but add to returns in the future. Matt will take us through some more detail regarding these development plans later in the presentation. So in conclusion on slide 17 of the financial section of the pack, we cover here the financial metrics of the business over the last 3 years. And clearly this highlights the earnings momentum of the business. With FY15 more than doubling statutory NPAT achieved in just 2 years ago from FY13. During the same period of revenue growth and profit improvement, interest coverage has doubled and gearing has halved, highlighting the strong cash conversion of the business and the strength of our balance sheet as we look to execute our redevelopment and expansion plans.
Thank you, Jack. If I can take you to page 19, where we look at the priorities going forward, as well as a quick trading update. So the priorities for next year are really an extension and continuation of the work that we progressed in 2015. So we continue to drive our earnings across the group. We think there's more in the tank. We now have a profitable platform for growth, and we see more opportunities to execute this growth. We obviously have to do a lot of capital development, both at Jupiter's as well as at Star. We have to execute against the work that we've undertaken on the brand and the loyalty program in 2016. and we need to advance the work with the Queensland government as well as our partners to finalize the arrangements for Queen's Wharf in Brisbane. Those are the five priorities for us in this coming financial year. In terms of the trading update, look, it's a curly one because it's only been 5 weeks, and this, you know, the simple flavor I want to give you is the first 5 weeks of this year are no different from the last 5 weeks of last year. It's, you know, we continue to see good momentum. Obviously, and from a numerical point of view, the growth rates come in from last year because the first half of last year was a much harder comp than the one in the prior period. The VIP business is doing fine, delivering according to our expectations. And I just wanted to, there's one word of caution, it says, you know, we have a lot of activity happening here in our properties now, particularly in the first half, and we are seeing a little bit of disruption that is impacting on the business. Nothing to be concerned about at this point, but I'm just highlighting that there is a lot of jackhammering and activity around. If I can ask you to now move to the fun part of the presentation where we look at some of the exciting things that are coming this year. On page number 20, we show you what is coming in Jupiter's. So this financial year, we will complete additional VIP salons in the existing hotel. We'll do a light refresh of the main gaming floor. We further expand the F&B offering and round out the arrival experience for the existing hotel. We'll start the work on the new hotel this year. It will be completed next year. And we will execute against all the other property work that's required to bring the property up to scratch. So a lot of it will start this year. It will be completed by 2017. What we're trying to do is get the property into perfect shape for the Commonwealth Games in 2018. In Sydney, on page number 21, we've previously guided the market to expect $500 million invested over the next 5 years. That number still stays. For next year, 2016, you should expect that we will complete the Darling VIP salons. We'll complete the buffet refurb. We will expand the main gaming floor and put in place a new offering for the main, for the lower tier, lower tier customer base. We will also expand Oasis, which is the middle tier of our loyalty base, expand it quite significantly and upgrade what we can offer to our customers. That will also be completed this financial year. There's going to be continued work on the refresh of the hotel rooms in the Astral Tower, as well as the lobby that starts in this financial year, but will only be completed next financial year. So a fair bit of activity there. And the last area of focus for us is set out on page number 22. It's a loyalty program. As we previously said, you know, the loyalty program has been driving growth, particularly at the top tiers. As we now understand the customers and the data better, we believe we can further enhance the effectiveness of the program. So in 2016, we'll be implementing a bunch of these improvements. There's really three areas that stand out. The first one is an improved customer value proposition, which comes down to a simpler offer to the customer and more rewards earlier for customers to make it more relevant and achievable for the lower customer tiers. Second, we're putting effort and money into automation and sophistication of our back office processes so we can tailor our offers more effectively to customers and go out more frequently and more targeted. And finally, we're improving our analysis capability both in terms of what the system can do and, you know, the people that we have working on that. So if I can conclude my remarks by just summarizing 2015, I think, you know, we feel that it was a very good year. What pleases us most about 2015 is the fact that we've been able to improve on a very broad range of metrics, and that then flows through into earnings improvements in each one of our properties. We're excited about the opportunities we see for 2016 and beyond, and believe that there's more that we can do. It'll take a little bit of pain as we're now putting in place some of the changes to our properties that set us up for the future. But, you know, there's substantial opportunities in front of us. And, you know, we look forward to, you know, continuing to work down and execute against our plans. So, Kay, I want to finish at this point my presentation and hand over to you to take questions. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by the number one on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the star key followed by the number two. We will now move to our first question from the line of Mark Wilson from Deutsche Bank. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Thanks very much, Matt. I was just wondering if you could elaborate on the VIP side, what you have seen in the second half, both from a direct perspective and also a junket perspective. Just maybe elaborate on the measures that you have taken to be more prudent in what you're actually allocating to that segment.
Yeah. Look, the trends in terms of the business were not different in the second half, were not different from the first half. If anything, we have a further slight increase in the amount of junket business that we were seeing coming to The Star. We also had a little bit more activity going off to Queensland, which is positive for us, even though the product isn't quite there yet. The customer mix hasn't really changed. Still heavily skewed towards North Asia. A lot of repeat business, Mark. There's a lot of repeat business, and that's probably a reflection or outworking of the fact that, as I think we mentioned at the last earnings call, we were a bit concerned about some of the liquidity of some of the junkets, and we were cautious about new facilities being offered to players or junkets that didn't have the appropriate track record with us, or where we had any concerns about their ability to repay quickly. We were cautious with any new facilities being made available. It looks like the situation has stabilized a little bit at this point, but particularly in the third quarter, we were quite cautious on that.
Great, thanks. And just on the commission rates, is that just a mix change as opposed to an increase in the rate card?
Yeah, no. We have not changed our rate card. There's pressure on the rate card, but as you know better than me, that there's not a lot of margin in this business. So we haven't changed our rate card. It is really just a mix change towards, particularly more towards profit sharing agreements.
That's great. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Matt Ryan from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Hi guys, I just wanted to get a bit more color on that 20% growth rate that you recorded at Star on tables, whether you could just talk about what's sort of driving that, and obviously you've combined PGR with main floor tables at the moment, so can you just give us some idea on where the strength came from?
Yeah, so the number is particularly skewed to the PGR. We had a very strong performance in the PGR and in the mid-tier that we have, which we call Oasis, which is one of the reasons why we feel the need to expand it. If you go back in the history of the recent history of The Star, we may recall that in 2013 we relegated a lot of customers. Then, in 2013-14 we started the program to bring them back. We put some refreshments through the private gaming rooms. The loyalty system was implemented and showed some real traction at the top tiers. We increased the hosting program and expanded the number of customers that are covered by the hosting program. We expanded the sales force, the interstate sales force, to bring additional customers. That all of that was particularly effective in the private gaming room.
Right. And is it your view that you're sort of taking share within that PGR business, or do you think the overall market's growing spend?
Well, it's hard to argue that Australia is under-gamed. So, there's anybody who wants to game and play probably plays somewhere. So I think we are taking share rather than expanding the market at the private gaming room level.
Sure. Excellent. Thanks very much.
Your next question comes from the line of Adam Alexander from Goldman Sachs. Please, Ted.
Hi, good morning, Matt and Chad. Just a question on the Jupiter's VIP result. It looks like it, really reflecting the work that you've put in there. I think it's about 24% above your previous high. Is that the new benchmark we should go with now, or with the new salons you're opening in 16, you should expect sort of further growth?
Look, to be honest, it's a, I don't want to call it a fluke, but it's really two players or two groups of players that decided that they wanted to get a bit of sun and golfing. And, you know, it was such a small base that the percentage made quite a difference. But you are right about, you know, if you go back again in history of the Jupiters, it used to have a very substantial VIP program. In fact, it used to be bigger than the stars. And with the VIP rooms, we're putting in this year, they're really a first step. The real step up is going to happen in 2017 when the new hotel tower is completed, because in that hotel tower, you have entire, you know, world-class gaming facilities like you would have here at the Star. So I expect that, probably not so much in the first half of this year, but throughout 2016, we expect a good growth in VIP in Queensland, and then a big step up when the new tower is done.
Right, thank you. And then just on the VIP win rate, just over the last 2 years, as you've really seen huge growth in those volumes. Your win rates have come down to sort of 1.27, 1.32, a fair way below now your 1.43, which was based on a time when you're sort of doing half the volumes you're doing now. When do you think it's sort of appropriate to review that win rate, given the last couple of years has seen, I think, nearly $100 million in difference between actual and normalised?
Yeah, we reviewed the win rate 12 months ago, so it took into account the 1.32 of last year. So that's in the 143. This year was obviously disappointing. We'll keep it under review. I don't think we should change it, you know, every 12 months. That's why we're not adjusting now, but you need to keep it under review. And if we continue to be, you know, year after year under the 143, I think it's going to be, you know, obviously then it needs to be adjusted. We've just redone the 5-year and 7-year analysis. We're not substantially off the 143, but we'll have to continue to track it. And if this year is bad, then we'll have to have a serious look at it.
Great. Thanks, Matt.
Your next question comes from the line of Larry Gandler from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Solid result. Just a few questions from me. In terms of the premium mass market, I think there's a question about whether you were taking share. I'm just wondering if you think the New South Wales premium mass market now is getting anywhere near the size of what it is in Victoria, or is there still a lot of development there?
Yes. So, first of all, Larry, you called this a solid result. Very hard man to please. Look, in terms of the New South Wales market question, we are still below Victorian levels. Still quite substantially below Victorian levels. We've made some progress, and obviously the positive economic climate and all the construction and infrastructure development activity here is beneficial to us in that segment in particular, but we are still well below Victoria.
Okay, great. And I'm not a hard man to please. I just don't like to show it. But anyway, just in terms of payables, I noticed that you guys had a 51% increase, I think it was reported, in payables, which is clearly faster than revenue, although the explanation was related to higher gaming-related payables, which I thought would have grown in line with revenue. What's going on there, Chad? Is that going to reverse in maybe 1H16?
Yeah, Larry, thanks. There's a couple of points around the payables piece. The first being, so we're up about nearly $80 million in payables. The first, nearly half of it has to do with primarily gaming deposits from patrons that have increased, just on year end, as well as, you know, higher unredeemed chip balances at year end. So that's really a timing thing for half of it. And then you see the other half of it is effectively aligned with, you know, higher gaming tax accruals, also higher junket payables, on the back of volumes, particularly in June, as well as just some other general accruals around, you know, the standard type stuff, payroll, marketing, bonus, etc. So, but the half of it I expect will reverse out, and it's probably more of a timing thing than anything else.
Okay, great. Okay, guys, I look forward to seeing you in a few days.
Great, thank you, Larry.
Your next question comes from the line of Brian Hunn from Morningstar. Please go ahead.
Oh, hi. Thanks, gentlemen. My first question is for Jupiters. I noticed that the EGM market share appears to have slipped a little in the fourth quarter versus a year ago. Can you shed some light on the drivers of that?
Yeah, look, on a quarter-to-quarter basis, that's true. It reflects the timing of particularly what some of the larger clubs are doing around the rollout of ticket in, ticket out, and specific food and beverage campaigns. So that can swing around on a quarter. So your observation is correct. The last quarter, Jupiters went backwards.
Oh, okay. So it's just the timing of the technology upgrades?
With our competitors.
Yep.
We went first, and then they're catching up, and then they overlay some aggressive food and beverage campaigns, and so they pick up a bit of market share.
Okay. And also, Matt, the $500 million investment in Star and the additional gaming and non-gaming offerings as a result of that investment, will they actually lead to a restructuring of your loyalty program in terms of more tiers and segments?
Those two things are not really connected, but what we're trying to do is make them align. So, for example, right now you have a tier in our loyalty system that provides some benefits, a discount on food and beverage and everything, but there's no dedicated gaming area. You will see, as part of our development next year, a dedicated gaming area for those players. So we're trying to align that. But most of the food and beverage expansion that we're doing is really aimed at the more general population, and we're looking at the customer base, you know, the composition, what they need, and we generally feel we have way too many, way not enough hotel rooms and way not enough food and beverage outlets. Sorry, not proper English, I know. But you know.
But, Matt, I have noticed that you have way too many clothing shops on the ground floor.
Good observation.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Matt.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Andrew Russell from Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Oh, hi, guys. Just briefly on the outlook commentary, you highlight for international VIP the performance year to date is in line with expectations. Is it safe to assume that theoretical win rates are also, or actual win rates are in line with the theoretical side as well?
After 1 month, you can't.
I know there's some volatility there, but.
Look, I don't want to give you false confidence or fear. So after, you know, it really makes no sense, Andrew.
And then separately, just on the Queensland side, you said you mentioned that some of the earnings growth there is obviously expense driven. Where in the cycle there are we?
In terms of
bringing expenses out of the business up there.
Look, we're done now. If you take Treasury's footprint isn't going to change at all. So you know, Treasury, we just need to continue to manage very, very cautiously. You know, it's hard to load additional traffic into the property, so you know, and that then translates into very cautious expense growth. At Jupiter's, as we're opening up new facilities, expenses will grow at a faster rate, but earnings will expand more quickly as well because we expect the traffic to pick up quickly.
Understood. Thanks.
Thank you.
Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. Your next question comes from the line of Sam Theodore from UBS. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Just a couple for Chad. The net interest guidance of $50 million, does that include any payments you need to make to the Queensland government within the next financial year?
No, it doesn't, Sam.
Okay. And just looking at that debt maturity profile chart that you've included in the investor presentation, I think I asked a similar question last year. So you've got new bank debt facilities of about $500 million, and I'm guessing at a pretty good cost given when you've put those together. I'm just trying to understand why the working capital facility is drawn, because that gives you flexibility, but there's a higher cost typically to working capital. So just trying to understand what's going on there.
Yeah, so working capital cost of that facility is less
than the senior syndicated financial debt. It's a cheaper facility for us, the working cap, so that's why it's drawn.
Okay, so can you give us some colour on what the cost of your SFA debt is? Because most of the companies raising debt today are pretty cheap, so just trying to understand what sort of cost we're looking at.
Yeah, so depending on the different tenors, you've got one that's around $1.20 and the other's about $1.40. Might even be a little bit less than that actually on our update.
Just so I'm clear, because I probably don't understand the financial jargon as well, $1.20, that's 1.2.
Sorry, that's our margin. Our margins on that are around
120 to 140 basis points over BBSW.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
Your next question is a follow-up question from Adam Alexander from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead. Adam Alexander, your line is open. Please go ahead.
Sorry, guys. Chad, just a question for you. You mentioned some accelerated D&A in a couple of areas this year, resulting in the D&A coming in just above what you'd talked about last year. Does that sort of continue into next year, and can you give us any type of range where that might play out for FY16?
So we've given some guidance there, I think, in the range of around 160 to 180 million for D&A for next year, and yeah, there's likely to be some more accelerated depreciation associated with as we're doing some of this master planning. You know, we're looking at some of the existing facilities that we might be depreciating a little bit faster than we initially intended to.
And that's sort of, given that sort of reasonably wide range, does that depend on whether you do that or the timing of CapEx and the like?
Yeah, more timing associated with CapEx is within that.
Yep, great, thanks.
There are no further questions at this time, Mr. Biekier. Please continue.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Kay. Thank you, everybody, for joining us on this call today. And I look forward to seeing you through the course of the year
eventually.
Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may all disconnect.